Well, I sure appreciated that song. I will tell you, songs have a great influence on the service, and we don't want to underestimate the power of the Lord saying, even though we know who am I, He can still use our voice, can't He? In our life. I wrote on the board, Jesus, my hope. And I don't know that that's the right word for it this morning, because I want to just span a variety of things with the same basic thought. Thank you. You know, the scripture tells us a little of different ones that live for God and their thoughts, and we know, all of us, probably most all of us adults, pretty well know the 23rd Psalm, don't we? It starts with "The Lord is my shepherd," doesn't it? And it says, "I shall not want." You know, David wrote that. I believe that David wrote that from his heart by inspiration. And he wrote that knowing that I'm not going to need anything, because God's going to take care of it all. David had a trust in the Lord that he knew it's going to be okay. God's going to take care of me. And so he wrote those words that we have read so many times. The Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that leads me along. He protects me. He keeps me from danger. He turns me back over when I get off on my side. You know, He's my everything, isn't He? Isn't that what He is to the people of God? The Lord is my everything. You know, we've been for some time in a little series here, I think this is number 7 in this, on Jesus and what He is to us. You know, He's my hope too. Just like David had. I look at the future with confidence because He's my hope. And if things start turning down, and sometimes they have, they've turned way down at times. And you know what? I just back up a little and say, well, you know, the Lord will take care of it. He'll take care of me wherever I'm at, or however I am, or however rich or poor or afflicted or well or what. The Lord's going to take care of us, isn't He? I believe that. The Lord is my everything. You know, the scriptures talk about He's my rock. He's my fortress. You know, we believe that, don't we? We hope in that. We hope in that, knowing that God is solid. There isn't any movement with Him. He's put some pretty solid things here in the earth, but they can still be moved, can't they? He's put big rocks, and I've been to Ball, California, where Rosie was raised, a number of times, a bunch of times. We go out there to this certain rock where, when we were dating, we went out there. There's a big rock there, and even though all the storms of life, the storms just rage, and every day the winds and the waves, when the tide comes in, it starts whipping against that rock again. You know, you can go back there and that rock's just right where it was. I think God put some things in place for us to have some idea of what He is. That's a pretty small idea of God the rock. But it is something that we can look at. And so, you know, the scripture tells us one place in Psalm 42, it says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." That first part of that verse was, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" You know, why are you cast down? Hope in God. He's gonna help us. I will yet praise Him. I will yet come out for the help of His countenance. We've seen those, and we have record of those that went through a lot more than you and I have. I don't care who we are here. We haven't gone through anything like some of them went through. I was thinking this morning about Joseph and some of the things he went through, and how that you know, he was a bright young man. He had a future ahead of him. He was loved. He felt loved. He felt all the security of a home. He knew his dad loved him. His dad loved him more than the others, it sounds like, and which was a mistake on his dad's part. It made problems for him, didn't it? But you know what? Joseph knew something about the Lord. And I think he probably, he was out with the animals and things. I think he probably, like David, was out there. And he saw God work. And he saw his handiwork in the heavens. And he beheld it. And he trusted in God. And he saw the might and the power of the Lord. And he prayed to God. And he trusted in Him. And he found Him to be what He was. And then when the chips turned down, as sometimes they will, folks, they will for you and me. Some of us will endure things, others won't. But I want to tell you something. Joseph knew the Lord. And through all those things, you know, his brothers really wanted to kill him. Some of them did. They really wanted to kill him. But they did him a favor and sold him to strangers, to go to a strange land. So he goes down there, and you know, did Joseph lose his, did he lose his hope in God? No, because God was a lot greater than his circumstances. And so this morning, I just want to encourage us, hope in God. Let your hope be grounded in the Lord God, because He is the rock. He is the one that won't move. He is the one that if we will attach ourselves to Him, let Him live in our soul, we shall yet praise Him. Amen. Can we say that to ourselves or loud? We shall yet praise Him. Shall we? You know what, saints? Let's remember. We're going to yet praise the Lord. I don't know what you're going through. And it may be rough. I doubt it's as rough as what Joseph went through. But you know, and so he got a little hope. He got away from these people. And anyway, he was sold to another man that was good to him. And he put him in charge of everything. Life was good again. I'm sure his heart ached daily. But life was good. And you know what? Somebody lied on him. The man's wife. And Joseph was pure. He was right. He was righteous. And he was wrong, so wrong. How could you be more wrong than that? Thrown into prison for years over something you didn't do. Did he get bitter? No, he hoped in God because he knew the Lord. You know, this morning, hope thou in God. I shall yet praise Him. I believe that this morning. Wherever you are, whatever your circumstance is, hope in God. Put your life into His life. You don't know what the future holds. Hope in God. Because you'll yet praise Him, if you will. And so Joseph goes down there and spends all these years in prison just serving the Lord. And what does it say? God gave him favor, didn't He? Again. And life started being better, a lot better. And he was in charge of things there. And he was trusted. And he had some dignity again a little bit. And you know what? He did the work of the Lord and told somebody what their dream meant. And they went off and forgot him. Go tell the king. When this comes to pass, tell him. Tell him what happened. Well, forgot. Just forgot. So Joseph remains in prison. What, a couple more years, wasn't it? But I think it says after 2 years, if I remember right. I haven't read the story for a long time. I think it says 2 years. And you know what? Something, a couple of other guys had some dreams, didn't they? And you know, when Joseph, or the king had a dream then, I'm sorry, got that wrong. The king had a dream, didn't he? And oh yeah, hey, I remember there was a man over here, he told me my dream. And he told this other man his dream, and they both came to pass just like he said. And you know what? God had His way in all that, didn't He? And later Joseph's testimony was, He said, you know, it wasn't you that put me down here. It was God. Because he was preparing a way. Now, this morning, I want to encourage us. If we are giving ourselves to God, and I put that if in there, because I have heard people just directly disobeying God and saying, well, you know, the Lord says everything works together for good. He sure does to those that love God. But I will tell you, if we are loving God, if we are giving Him our life, then folks, we can claim the promises of God. And so we find Joseph came to that place of dignity and grace, and the Lord used him. And I don't think Joseph got a big head over it. We never find him getting a big head. We never find him getting lifted up because God prepared him. He prepared that vessel for this place. And you know, he that is faithful in the least is faithful also in much. Joseph served the Lord when it wasn't fun to serve the Lord at that time. But you know what? I shall yet praise him. So I want to read a few promises this morning. And I would like for us to think about these things. Think about what the Word says. Because isn't the Word of God more solid than a rock? If he said it, we could put the world up on it, could we not? And so let's read a few things and let's remember this is for me. For you. Isaiah 41 and 10, we've read these scriptures plenty of times. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, because I am your God. It says, for I am your God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And if we drop on down to 13, it says, for I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Do you know the Lord wants our fears to be displaced with his trust? He really does. He wants us to know it's going to be okay. We find that with David. We find that with Joseph. We find that with Job, don't we? And so I want to read a few verses there in Job in a bit, but in Philippians 4 and 6, the apostle tells us, be careful for nothing. Now, you know what? I need this just like you do. I need these promises, folks, because sometimes we're tempted to be anxious, aren't we? Because that's what that word really means. It's translated careful. The usage we would translate today would be anxious. And so he says, be anxious, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. I want to tell you, I believe the Lord respects our confidence in him. Amen. Doesn't he? You know, it was just not long ago. I was in a situation and I was like, Lord, you know, I knew I had to have something. I needed the Lord to give me something here in this situation. And so I just began to thank him. Lord, thank you that you're going to give me what I need here. Thank you that you're going to supply this need. Thank you, Lord, because I know you're going to do it. I don't know how, and Lord, I'm feeling pretty desperate, but I need you. But you know what? The Lord filled it better than I could have imagined. He did that. Amen. Folks, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Amen. Serve him. Give yourself to him. Don't draw back in the heated times. In the battle in the furnace, don't draw back. And it goes on to say, and the peace of God, which passeth understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, I can preach this without reservation because, folks, I know it's true. Don't we know it's true this morning? Many of us do, don't we? And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, it tells us that's if we come to the Lord in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, then He'll keep our hearts and minds. In Luke 12, this one seems pretty big sometimes. If you're really in need, this is going to be a challenge. But He said in verse 22, and He said unto His disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now, again, if you look that up, you can look it up. It's just not a play on words. Folks, look it up. It says anxious. Don't take any anxious thoughts. Don't worry about things. Take no thought for your life. What's the future going to bring? And you know, sometimes we can break out in a sweat, can't we? What's the future going to bring? At times in our life, it's like that. And He says, don't look at it that way. What you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now He's telling us something here. Let's take note of what He's saying. He says, the life is more than what you're needing here in the physical. The life is more than that. So don't worry about that. Now, that's a pretty big statement, isn't it? And the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens. For they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? Do we believe that God will perform a miracle for us if need be? I do. And I know a bunch of you do too. You know what? We believe that, don't we? God will do what it takes. Are you not? How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to a stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies. Now Jesus is telling us something. I want you to consider something. Consider the lilies, He says. They grow. How they grow. They toil not. They spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothe the grass which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will He clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Now we're talking to one is talking here that came down and experienced this. And you know what? He needed some money one time. They were like, hey, we got to pay our taxes. Jesus, what are we going to do? You know, we got to pay our tax. We'll go down and catch a fish. The money will be in his mouth. You know, that's the way Jesus can do it, isn't it? And He can do that for us too, and will, if need be. And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And listen to this last part of this verse here. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isn't that beautiful this morning? He said, God knows that you have need of these things. We're not denying the need. He knows you need this. He knows you have needs. But He said, you seek Him first, and then He'll take care of you. I'm always amazed that the Lord does that, because He asks us to step out on faith first. Seek Him first. Do His will. Do what we know He wants us to do. Not something we're driven into a corner. Oh, I think I better go over here and give this or do that or give this. No, do His will. Do what we know God wants us to do without any hesitation. Lord, if that's what you want, that's what you'll get. And then He said, all these things, they'll be added to you. And I want to tell you, there's a lot of witnesses here that God will do more than we can ask or think. I thank the Lord this morning. that we know God is that kind of God, isn't He? In Psalm 37, we read another one here. 37 and 1. I'm not minimizing in any way, folks, the severity of our needs, because sometimes they are there. But I will maximize the fact that God will supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Why would you be envious against the workers of iniquity? Why would the sinners make us envious? Well, if we're not careful, we'd see the fine stuff they have sometimes and get our eyes off on the wrong thing, which will get our path on the wrong way. And so he says, don't fret because of evildoers. Don't fret because of them. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. I want to tell you something. They're all going to die. I was reading a while back, and they were saying something like, the first one to live to be 1,000 years old is born already. Well, I want to tell you something. They're going to die. And they're going to face God. Don't be envious. I don't want to live to be 1,000 years old. I want to spend 900 and some years with the Lord. And the rest I'll spend here, getting ready for that. You know what, folks? Our aims are different. It changes the way we think about things, doesn't it? And so we don't fret because someone else has more or ease or all this stuff. Folks, our trust is in the Lord, isn't it? He made the heavens and the earth. Trust in the Lord. Excuse me, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. He's going to take care of you. Don't worry about the movie stars that have millions and millions and millions of dollars and big yachts that are worth 1,000 times what you'll ever be worth, or me. You know what? Trust in the Lord and do good. Concentrate on doing the will of the Lord. And folks, I want to tell you something. Surely, verily, you're going to be fed too. Because all they can do is eat about the same amount we do every day. And all they're going to live is somewhere near the same kind of years we live. And then they're going to die. And we're going to go to heaven. Delight thyself, let's see, so shalt thou dwell in the land, verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him. You know what that commit? It has meaning, doesn't it? Commit your way to the Lord. Commit it to God. I'm going to take His way. I'm going to commit myself to God's way. And whatever His way is, I'm committed to that. And trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Didn't we say, let's listen to these scriptures. Let's take them each one home. Home, right here. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to take this to my heart. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. For evildoers shall be cut off. Do you believe that this morning? I want to tell you something. Evildoers will be cut off. Do you know that those that live by the sword will die by the sword, the scripture says? And it says, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place. and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Folks, let's search out God's way. Because the scriptures tell us that the meek will delight themselves in the abundance of peace. So the Lord help us. It's a challenge to all of us, isn't it? You know what? We're not sticking our head down in the sand. We're not denying what's going on in the world or in our lives. We recognize it, don't we? We understand it. But I want to tell you, when we diligently take those things to the Lord in prayer, Lord, somebody was asking for the Lord to work out a place, a home for them. You know what? We diligently serve the Lord. He's going to work it out, isn't he? He's going to work it out. I may have to stay where I don't want to stay for a while, but in the end, God's going to work it out. I just have that confidence in God. Folks, don't you know that's true? Don't that give us a certain amount of peace and rest when we accept that and we commit our way to the Lord? We trust in Him. Oh, the Lord, help us today. When we diligently take things to the Lord in prayer with thanksgiving, the Lord promised, if you'll do your part, I'll do mine. You come to me, you serve me, I'll take care of you. Oh, the Lord says that. Jeremiah says, Oh Lord, my strength. This is 16 and 19. My strength and my fortress. Oh Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. And it goes on. You know, the Lord is there for us, isn't He? I think about this man named Job. And I want to read a little of his in Job, the 13th chapter, the 15th verse. It says, Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want to tell you, that's the kind of people that we are following. That's who Joseph was. That's who David was. That's who Job was. That's who Paul was. And that's the people we follow. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, on down or in the first chapter, it says, In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Oh, I just want to encourage us today. Folks, the Lord in His great omniscience, in His great power, in His great understanding, in His great wisdom, He allows things that we don't understand. But I want to tell you something. He's no less there than if we were on the mountaintop of the highest mountain on the earth, looking down on everything with joy. He's no less there. In all this, Job sinned not. You know why? Because Job knew the Lord. Job knew the Lord, just like David did, just like Joseph did. He didn't sin against God. He didn't throw in the towel. He didn't become bitter and angry. And I'm going to come back, and now I'm going to get my brothers. Or here they are. They're right in my hands. They don't even know it's me. And I'm going to make their life miserable. You know what? He could have done that, but he wouldn't have had the blessing of the Lord. Oh, let's commit our way to the Lord and trust also in Him, folks. God said, Behold, I am the Lord. That's Jeremiah 32 and 27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? That's what God said. Let's don't look at the circumstances. I have to think that if these men, and we know a number of them that spent years in prison, and we've already mentioned Joseph, we mentioned Paul's name. You know, he spent years in prison. Those men knew something about God. And they served him wherever they went, knowing. Paul ended up saying these light afflictions. After he had already endured so many, he called them light afflictions. Because, folks, he knew something about the grace of God. Oh, the Lord, encourage our hearts today. Cause us, Lord, cause us to mount up in faith with wings as eagles. And cause us, Lord, to serve you and to serve you well in the midst of our troubles. You think you have troubles? Folks, we've been talking about some that have had a lot more troubles than we have had, any of us, by a long, long ways. I want to read at least one more reading here. Luke 21 and 9. The Lord wants us to keep in mind there's coming another day. And you know, some of this may be about the destruction of Jerusalem or whatever, but I believe it applies also to our time at the end of time. And I want to look at what it says here from 9 on a ways. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Now for us, we sit over here in the middle of America where there hadn't been a war on our soil in a long time, has there? We don't know anything of it, do we? So it's pretty easy for us not to be terrified. We just see the prospects of whatever could happen globally, and we can get terrified, can't we? And there's news that constantly tries to inflame that. The Lord wants us to rest in Him. Be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. But before all these things, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. You think we're out there on our own when we do those things? Folks, the Lord said, this is where you're going to go for me. This is where you're going to go for me. So when we see some things start coming to pass or possibilities of things, let's don't let our hearts fail us. And it shall, verse 13, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Remember Stephen? And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. Can you imagine that happening? Being betrayed in that way? Jesus said it's going to happen. Amen. Now, folks, we need to prepare our hearts. Lord, whatever you send into my life, whatever you allow into my life, I'll pray for you to be glorified in that. If it's affliction, see, we've been so insulated in this country from real true problems. We've been so insulated. And so I see the Lord allowing affliction and things. Folks, do you think He's just going to let us have a clear pass and nothing happen? There's something deep that comes out of those kind of things. Let's see that. The Lord works in our lives. We are not on our own. Everything that happens to us, He'll cause to be for our benefit. Do you believe that this morning? How could that be? Just trust Him. I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. You shall be betrayed. And it goes on. You shall be hated, verse 17, of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. They might kill you, but there's not going to be a head of your hair perish. a hair of your head perish. Do you know this morning that none of that's going to be by accident? God's got to allow them. Every hair on your head is counted. And He's got to allow that. And so the troubles we come into, let's let it deepen us. Let's press closer to the Lord instead of becoming angry at God or at the circumstances. We're going to finish up here momentarily. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies. Let's see, then it goes on there. verse 27, I'm going to drop down to there. He says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. All this morning, I want to encourage us, folks. We cannot fight these things in our own strength or by our own abilities or in the flesh or in the carnal. That's the way the world does it. They spend their whole life, all these things does the world seek after, the nations of the world, seeking after their own. Folks, let's seek after the Lord's. And let's submit ourselves to Him. Allow His work in our life. And I believe what we will find is, we'll find a story that can be left for our posterity to tell them God is real. God is real. God can be trusted. The Lord will take care of His own. And we can have a whole rich legacy to leave to our children, folks, to cause them to be able to believe. They have to have somebody in their life. And I want to encourage each one of us here this morning, be that somebody in your children's lives or in other people's lives. It matters, and it matters a lot. You all pray for us. I want to serve the Lord. I have no desire to serve the Lord less than with all my heart. The Lord help us today not to be sidetracked until the very last moment, that we might see His face in peace. One day, think about it, one day we can see His face in peace and leave behind a testimony that there was a God that carried us, that was real to us, that there was a God when it seemed no way out, that there was a God when it seemed I could not but be bitter. There was a God that gave me love instead. That's the way God is. Oh, the Lord bless each one of us this morning. Encourage our hearts to give ourselves without reserve to the Lord. Amen.